Americans are having fewer babies. Since the 2008 recession, the fertility rate in the United States declined and has continued to drop, even though the economy has rebounded over the last decade.
The New York Times recently surveyed young people to find out why they were waiting to have children or foregoing parenthood entirely. Their answers ranged from personal reasons to economic concerns.
Our next guest is here to talk about what changing attitudes towards parenthood and kids means for families and society, and what policies could be enacted to help parents and children.
Stephanie Kuntz teaches history and family studies at the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington. She's also the director of research at the Council on Contemporary Families. Stephanie, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So let's start with what might be an obvious question, but I want to get your take on this. Why might this be concerning that Americans are having fewer children?
Well, of course, we are a society that tends to be based upon a continuous expansion of consumption. And I think in the long run, that's probably not going to work for us either environmentally or demographically. But that's one of the concerns. A more reasonable concern is that we do need people to pay into Social Security for the future. Children are very important resources, and we should make it easier for people to have them who want to have them. This year, the gap between the number of children women say they want to have and the number that they say they expect to have reached its widest point in 40 years. So even though there are some reasons for a slowdown in fertility that I don't think we will turn around, clearly there's lots of room to improve this because people would like to have more kids than they feel able to have.
The New York Times really wanted to put a spotlight on this, so they surveyed 1,800 men and women between the ages of 20 and 45 to find out why they were having fewer children, and in some cases, no children at all. There were a number of reasons. Some were personal choices, but a lot were due to economics and finances. Talk, if you could, Stephanie, about how the cost of raising a child has gone up over the years.
Yes, well, when people think about the high fertility rates of the past, they forget that for a long time, for thousands of years, children were the most important economic resource for the parents. They were what the parents invested in order to have child labor to get to take care of them in their old age. As the child labor has been abolished and as it's become more expensive to educate, as education has become more necessary, children have become more expensive. And one of the things that Americans in particular are concerned about are the child care is much too expensive, and in fact, that's way outstripped the cost of inflation, as has the price of sending kids to college, which, of course, most of us realize is a pretty important investment if your kids are going to do well at all. They're worried about the economy and financial instability. And another big personal reason, but not a selfish personal reason, is that they want more time for the children they have. We've also raised our expectations of how much time people should spend with their children. A lot of people don't realize this, but today working mothers spend more time interacting with their children than stay-at-home mothers did back in the 1950s and 60s.
We heard from Kelsey on Facebook, and she has one child, and she wrote, "We may have another child, but we may not. This country doesn't have family-friendly policies established to encourage the growth of healthy family units, so to afford the hospital bills, daycare tuition, and time off from work to heal and bond with a newborn is no simple feat. That, coupled with student loan debt, which truly seems to be my generation's largest barrier to financial stability, makes having children a difficult decision." Stephanie, is society just working against people at this point? In all aspects, who are looking to have children?
Yes, I think that this is a major problem. And the few places where we've seen upticks in fertility are in places that have made it much easier for women and men both to combine work and family. We find that fertility rates have ticked up where there is quality childcare that is affordable or universal, as it is in places like France, and when there are good family leave policies. And by the way, it's really important that those aren't just for women anymore, because one of the big changing new values in relationships between men and women is that women want access to the work world as well as access to family time for raising their children, and they want men to be more involved, and men want to be more involved. So we found that with their studies in Europe that show that there is a real strong predictor that when you have paternal leave as well as maternal leave, and men get involved at an early age, women are much more likely to have a second or third child than in places where they are continue to be primarily responsible for the child raising.
There's been a lot of talk in politics these days about paid family leave, trying to get that off the ground. But I'm wondering where something like that needs to start, in your opinion. Does that start on the federal level? Does it start on the state level? Or does it start somewhere else?
Well, I think we have to work on many, many different levels for it. Obviously, the federal government has not been as responsive to it as most Americans, whatever their political ideology, would like. And so you're getting these individual initiatives at the city level or the state level. But, of course, the problem with leaving it there is that you can then have a situation where the worst states and the worst corporations become the most competitive because there's a race to the bottom. Unless you have some sort of floor set, it's really not fair to the corporations and the states that want to do right.
One other thing I'm wondering about while we're talking about economic reasons, before we move on to the personal reasons, it seems like throughout history, the traditional progression has been you get married, you buy a house, and then you have kids. And I'm wondering now, we're hearing across the country, housing costs are out of control. People are having a hard time buying a house because houses are either too expensive in their area or they can't do it because they have college debt, they have other expenses. And I'm wondering if that step doesn't happen, the buying a house, having the living arrangement straightened out, does that also have an impact on whether or not people are going to have kids?
Well, I think housing costs have something to do with it. And I think perhaps even more important, though, is student debt and the extent to which people have confidence that the country is moving forward, that there's some job stability and security in their future. You know, you look back to the big baby boom after World War II, and it was a very different situation, some in good ways, some in bad ways. In good ways, it was a period where every young generation of men aged 25 to 35 was earning three times as much as their fathers had earned at the same age, and when you put it in constant dollars. Housing prices, as you say, were really low. A 30-year-old man could buy a median-priced home on 18% of his yearly income. So the result was that young men could afford to have children. They could afford to have a family. The bad part of it is that young women didn't have much choice other than to get married and have babies, because there were help wanted male odds, and the help wanted female ads were not for jobs that paid a living wage, and they were temporary jobs. And so there was just no way that women had any possibility of having another kind of life outside the home in addition to the home. So now, of course, we've got a very different situation. It's much harder for young men to get started and support a family. You really need two incomes. And women not only feel that they need two incomes, but they also expect to be at work and enjoy being at work. Women who work continuously are much healthier mentally and physically at age 40 than women who stay home that most of the time. So the result is that we need a much better arrangement. We have to give up the idea that you can organize your work life, your school hours, and your family policies on the assumption that there'll be one set of workers, male, who are totally available to the employer and can work long hours and be available whenever they're wanted. And there's another set of people, primarily female, who will stay home and take care of the rest of life. That's just not the way it works anymore. And we're not going to have any rise in fertility, substantial rise in fertility, until we recognize that. You know, it used to be when you made it hard for women to work that they stayed home and had babies. Today, in today's environment, when you make it hard for women to combine work and family, they often don't have babies at all.
We are talking with Stephanie Kuntz. She teaches history and family studies at the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington, and she's also the director of research at the Council on Contemporary Families. We're talking about why Americans are having fewer babies. And I want to go to a call now, and we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Ben is with us now in La Crosse. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I just want to comment on the premise here. I understand that on a local level, the issue of the demographics of fewer children in the society creates problems. And the issues brought up about Social Security and supporting the elderly in the society are issues that have been discussed and debated. But beyond that, on a macro level, we have to keep in mind that there are over 7 billion people on the planet, and that's created a whole host of severe problems that may threaten the species itself. Wars, environmental damage, overpopulation is a serious, serious issue, and the decline in birth rates in some quarters is considered a blessing.
And Ben, thank you so much for that call. Stephanie, some respondents to the New York Times sort of echoed what Ben was saying. Some listed concerns over global instability, domestic politics, climate change was another one, and overpopulation. Do you get the sense that people are thinking more about these issues when considering starting a family at this point?
Well, I certainly hear a lot of my former students and young people when I go around the country giving lectures on the changing family life talk about the concerns, for example, about climate change. And, you know, you would think you have a refugee problem now. You wait till the seas are rising, and they're very concerned about that, and they talk about that. I think that your caller raises a good point, and it's really something that, as a society, we have based our whole economic system on the idea that you have to have the market, consumer market, expand continuously. So you've got to have more kids, more people to buy. We've got to rethink that at this point in the history of our planet, as well as in our immediate demographic trends.
We are talking with Stephanie Kuntz right now. She is Director of Research at the Council on Contemporary Families, and we're talking about why Americans are having fewer babies.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you a young person who's waiting to have kids or have decided not to? What influenced your choice? Have you gotten pushback from friends and relatives? And what would you like to see change in order to support families? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll pick up that conversation in just a moment after the short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. Right now, we're continuing our conversation about why Americans are having fewer children. Our guest is Stephanie Kuntz. She teaches history and family studies at the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington, and is the director of research at the Council on Contemporary Families.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What challenges do you think people face when they decide to have children or not? Are you in the process of making that decision now? If you have children already, what do you wish you'd considered before having kids? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
And Stephanie, before we go to the phones, I want to ask, I'm wondering if we've made significant public health progress in decades, things like reducing the amount of unintended pregnancies, of teen pregnancies. Does that kind of factor in here as to why we're seeing such a low fertility rates?
Well, yes, it does. And because, of course, one of the things that is a kind of good news but challenge at the same time is that women are having children at a much older age. The average age of first-time mothers is 26, up from 21 back in the 1970s. And educated women with college degrees have children an average of 7 years later than those without. And that's very good news for their children, economically, educationally. They turn out, you know, these children get more time, they have more resources. But it also means that women are much closer to hitting their biological limits, and they may not be able to have as many children as they want. So this is a difficult balancing act for women to decide, you know. There is tremendous advantage economically and emotionally and in your relationship with your significant other in delaying having children. But on the other hand, you do run into the declining fertility, especially by the time you're 39 or 40. So those are something to take into account. Can I just add one other interesting thing?
Absolutely.
About America? One of the things, when you think about the personal reasons that people say, America has the largest deficit in happiness between parents and non-parents of all of the industrial countries in the OECD that were recently studied by Jennifer Glass and her colleagues, that parents just find it much more difficult because of this lack of family support systems. And in many countries, parents are equally happy or even more happy than non-parents, but not here. And so that's another point to bear in mind.
Yeah, that echoes something that Sadie wrote on Facebook, who wrote about having children. "I just don't feel the need. Both our parents really want us to have a child, and I am just not there. I'm 32. I know they are just so much work, and right now I'm just not interested in doing that work. I enjoy my life as it is, and we need to experience more adventure and more self-fulfillment, and kids take up all your time." And Stephanie, is that something that you're hearing a lot, comments like that from Sadie?
Well, I don't hear it as much as you might think. I mean, when the New York Times went through it, that sort of "I want more leisure time for myself" was kind of low on the list, actually. But it's certainly more common here than in countries that have good work-family policies that allow people. I mean, here in America, it's so hard to get vacation time. We don't have the guaranteed vacation time. We certainly don't have the guaranteed maternity leave and paternity leave that's necessary for women and men to really share these kinds of things. And one of the interesting things is new research that's being done on what makes for satisfying marriages is that actually the happiest couples are the ones that really share childcare and breadwinning equally. But it's very difficult to do that in our current system. So it may be that these couples find that if they don't have the childcare to worry about, that they can do the kinds of leisure activities that in fact increase their happiness and their satisfaction. So I think that this is not an inevitable problem with having children, but it's a particularly strong problem in the United States.
We are talking with Stephanie Kuntz. She's the Director of Research at the Council on Contemporary Families. And now to your calls at 800-642-1234. And we'll go to Lynn in Madison. Hi, Lynn.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Hi. I just have a couple quick comments. I think also part of the reason women don't want to are not choosing not to have kids is, I kind of knew for my teen years that I'm pretty sure I wasn't going to have them. People told me I would change my mind, and you have them so you have somebody to take care of you when you're older, and I didn't find that very convincing. And so I'm middle-aged now, probably beyond the point. But I think that the decline started when the New Deal started, deregulation started happening in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, and productivity and wages don't keep up. And then you factor in the fact that female-dominated fields, even if they support high-paying people like doctors versus medical technologists who are laboratory technicians, female-dominated, they don't get paid anywhere near. I mean, I started out at $12.89 an hour post my graduation from the university.
And Lynn, thank you so much for that call. Stephanie, can you respond to what Lynn had to say there?
Well, yes, there's a couple of things. First of all, it's absolutely true that the gender pay gap is really a problem for women, and it gets much worse after parenthood. In fact, parenthood is now the major contributor to the gender pay gap. If you postpone your childbearing until your late 30s, it's far less of a problem, but it also means that you're less likely to have more than one kid, even if you want more than one or two kids. So that's one factor to it. You know, I personally think, I think it's really important to get past the idea that it's selfish not to have kids. I mean, I'm a mom, and I'm really, it was just the light of my life. On the other hand, I spend less time taking care of my Alzheimer's mother than my single childless sister did, because single childless people also play a very important role in caregiving and reaching out to other people. So I think we have to get away from the idea that it's selfish not to have kids.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for the call. We'll go next to Pleasant Prairie now, and we'll talk to Matthew. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if we fit in so much. My wife actually wanted to be a stay-at-home wife. We had our first daughter 3 years ago, and our hardest decision was, do we have the second? And this was based on my salary. I was making, well, still am, about $60,000 a year. And health insurance, the cheapest option through work, is $12,000 a year. So 20% of my income is going straight to health insurance. So now, you know, do we add a second kid? And the benefits we get from her staying home and taking care of our child, you know, our first child, do we lose that now because she has to go to work just to pay for, you know, life?
And Matthew, thank you so much for the call. We are running low on time, but Stephanie, I'm wondering if you could address, you know, these conversations that couples must have, you know, wanting to have another child and just feeling like they can't, must be devastating. Is this something that you're hearing a lot from couples?
Well, it is. It's very hard. I mean, there are couples that want to have the stay-at-home person, and, you know, those are very disadvantaged couples. Any single-earner couple in today's world is disadvantaged compared to two-earner couples. And, of course, now we have, with the health care, the fact that we don't have universal health care, and it's tied to people's work status, that makes it even more difficult for many people who want to have kids. So these are all very important factors that we need to discuss, I think, in a in a way that is sympathetic to our needs as a society and to people's individual choices.
And lots more to talk about, but unfortunately we are out of time. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Stephanie Kuntz teaches history and family studies at Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington. She's also the director of research at the Council on Contemporary Families, and she joined us today to talk about some of the reasons why Americans are having fewer babies. And we do have a conversation going on over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. If you didn't get a chance to get on today, or you still want to share your story about why you're putting off having kids, why you didn't have kids, plenty of time to share your story. Just head on over to the Ideas Network Facebook page, share your story. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR or email us ideas@WPR.org.